All right.
It stays. It stays. Yeah. I mean, vote's over. It stays.
Yeah.
Welcome to Belong You Songs, where we just decided that the write-on will stay at the end of the theme song throughout the season. Belonging Songs is the podcast that brings you a brand new original song with each episode, and then we talk about the theme of that song and the processes that go into writing and recording it, sometimes the changes we make along the way. I'm your host, Wade Dana, with me today in the studio, my good friends Bradley Maurer.
Hello.
Chad Kelton.
Hello.
Patrick Crane.
Right out.
Right on.
Right on.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
All right.
You all right there? You adjusted?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
So yeah, shimmy. Right before we started recording this episode, I had asked these guys, should we keep the right on? It originally was just going to be for the first episode and then maybe bring it back once in a while throughout the season, but I think we've decided it's staying.
I think it stays.
Becoming much like the boom done next at the end of an episode.
Was never a question.
Well, it's funny because when I recorded that initially, I played it for Shanna and I had it on there and she was just like, you had to do that at the end. I'm like, what? She's like, it's just a total thing you would do. Like, well, I guess.
It fits.
But, you know, we like to bring Auto Brad back in once in a while, even when real Brad is here.
And one of these days, we're going to find Auto Brad in the back, and the batteries will be all corroded.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't work anymore.
Can't bring myself to put him to the curb.
Yeah. But
right next to Polly from Rocky's Robot.
Yeah. In Chad 2.
Look at Chad Auto Brad's foot, and it has my name written. Chad 2 is in the Toy back Story. There.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're back to podcasting.
Well, welcome, listeners. I'm sure you were sad to see us go for a little bit.
As longtime listeners will remember, we record multiple episodes at the same time, so this is still our first day recording.
I thought you were going to say, as longtime listeners know, we do a podcast.
Right. And we had just finished recording last episode's intro, and I'm sorry if it was a little rough, but you know, we haven't done this in a while, but we're back at it. I think we're better now than we were
10 minutes ago.
With 3 weeks ago,
we've done some self-reflection, we've given each other honest feedback, we've responded to that team back. We all have SMART goals.
We took it, did a Krav Maga lesson,
lesson, and we learned all about crutch punch. Brad, you want to update the audience on crutch punch?
Yes. Your crutch punch was a joust that we used to do as children. I grew up on a farm, and we had a beam. And we used to take my brother's crutches because he was always disabled in some capacity because he had a broken ankle or whatever. And we would take his crutches and get on this beam and joust. And it was for neighborhood ranking.
With no padding or anything on
no
the crutches.
No padding on the end, no. Normal people would put like a pillow or something on it. We might have tried it at first with a pillow, but once the pillow falls off, the joust does not stop. And so after that, it's like, why even bother?
Yeah.
And I know we've mentioned on the show before, Brad is the youngest of the brothers, so I'm sure it went really well for you.
I was constantly trying to take somebody off the beam rather than be the one flung off.
Did you not get hung from that beam upside down
different,
at one point?
That was a different scenario.
Okay.
But yeah, I did get Wile E. Coyote into a little ground lasso kind of thing, and I stepped into it, and my brother jumps off of this loft, and I'm inverted now, right? And he ties it to a beam, and then all of a sudden I hear my mom yelling for him, you know, and he's got a phone call, so he leaves, and I'm inverted, screaming bloody murder, and nobody cared.
Join us next week for our follow-up podcast, Childhood Trauma with Brad Maurer.
Yeah, so I have a lot of those stories. But that was probably one of the best ones because I'm like, I tell it and people are like, I don't know that that's true. I'm like, oh, it was true.
Yeah,
I was inverted and it sucked for a while. Like I was climbing the rope trying to get inverted just so I could stand on the rope.
Yeah, like they do to a gator and swamp people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was. Good times.
Okay, well.
All fond memories now looking back. Terrifying at the time.
Yeah. But.
I was the oldest, so I actually was the
the protagonist.
Instigator. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of fond memories,
mm-hmm.
we got a song here by Brad this week that started out as a collaboration between Brad and I. Not really. I mean, Brad wrote the song, but we were trying to do cloud collaboration at the time over Pro Tools. It was a new feature then. And that means like Brad could start a session at his house, dump it up into the cloud. I would be able to pull it down. We could, in theory, work on it at the same time. Mm-hmm. It got about as far as Brad writing it, send it to me.
There was a couple of them, though, that got a little further along that we'll probably revisit at some point. But this one was one-sided, to say yeah, the least. So,
I heard Brad threw this one out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
So at the end of last season, you know, we were fighting for songs mm-hmm. and we were looking for ideas. And Brad found this file on his computer somehow. I don't know how, because...
Ever since 2018, it's extremely organized.
Because when I bounced this down to listen to today, it tried to save it as home square. I'm not kidding. Whatever. On my computer,
there's
too.
There's a default setting somewhere that it exists.
So I had forgotten about this song, but I know that I had got it because there was a note on one track, which was a flute track.
A trumpet.
And in the note section, because you could write notes on the tracks, it said... Quote, yeah, buddy, I heard this song and was like, this needs a goddamn trumpet. So I had put one trumpet track that's like, I don't know,
very
eight
short.
Seconds long and sent it back to him. And that's where
that was
the
your
song...
contribution.
Yeah.
And then it sat. What I was doing at the end of last season is I was just looking for something that might be a complete thought that wasn't going to take a lot of finagling, which you could talk about later.
Oh, we will.
But I didn't have to do any finagling to it. So this was one that was done, and I reminded Wade about it.
So like Chad just said, Brad kind of
I just started it. If it wasn't for today, nobody would have heard this song.
So what we're going to listen to first is the version that was in the cloud. Brad did. I put the little tiny trumpet thing to, and that's where it sat. We're going to listen to that. And then Brad found it, sent it to me, and was like, I don't know, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So then we're going to listen to a version where I've done whatever I want.
And I haven't heard any of it.
Brad hasn't heard it.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so
maybe.
Yeah, well, I was considering making this season premiere episode, but then I was like, well, Brad might not like it.
Let's see how it goes.
So we're going to listen to Brad's original demo right now, and the song is called
Imposter Syndrome.
Right.
Buried the lead on the lyrics.
We did.
Thank you.
Now, I don't think Patrick's ever heard this.
Nope.
And I know Chad has, and I have, so we're going to go to Patrick again first.
Goody.
Yeah, I think this is a track we can probably all speak to, right? Maybe not, because you're all badass.
Thematically, you're giving it away in the title.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I say. I really buried the lead on this one.
Right.
Right. But it's not a bad thing, because as I was alluded to, I think everybody who's had any kind of promotion or success encounters imposter syndrome, unless you're a total psychopath. I just don't think anyone is immune from it. So I think lyrically it's really strong. It conveys that in a non-metaphorical way. I mean, it's out there just wearing itself on a sleeve, which is something you do well. You know, you vacillate between very well-written metaphor and then just plain as day. Mm-hmm. And you do both equally as well. This song, compositionally, I really like. It does need a couple things that I think I beat to death about your music when it's in demo form. Just some of the how did this come to be, I think, needs more command. It needs to be more convincing. It's a little too soft, especially on those last couple lines. But I really like what that does to shore everything up. And the trumpet, I think, is actually a really good thought. And I think that can come into the outro.
Mm-hmm.
And
trumpet.
Yeah, more trumpet. I'm hearing like, I feel like I'm starting with the outro, which is weird, but I guess it was the last thing we heard.
You're an outro guy.
Yeah.
Brad's an intro guy.
So what I hear is like the Spanish style trumpets playing over there, if you know what I'm talking about. So just keep those going throughout the outro. I think the chorus needs more dynamics. It's not removed enough from the verses as far as how it's sung, how the music is played. It just needs some dynamics. I don't know if it's how you go from the verse straight into the chorus, if you need like a measure of rest or maybe even two measures of rest to bring that dynamic approach in. Lyrically, it's great. I just think it needs to pull itself out of the verse a little bit better.
One of the reasons I wanted to see this song through is because of the chorus. I think it's really strongly written and easy to connect to. And it really gets the point across. Like you said, very straightforward, but it's just so effective. And I've always liked the chorus on this a lot.
Yeah.
I think for me too, that was its redeeming quality. And I think this song actually started with, when I was writing it, like that's the part I started playing first. And then I kind of was like, oh, I'll just write a song around that. And it was pretty easy to do the rest of it because it's pretty simple.
And I think you did a really nice job lyrically, how everyone wants them to step up. Everyone wants them to, like, they rally around this person. Then the last line in each verse is like the self-doubt.
Right, like, how did this happen?
Yeah, like what the hell is going on?
Yeah, they just don't see what everybody else sees, right?
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. As somebody personally who's had imposter syndrome on many, many occasions, it's exactly what goes through your mind. It's well written.
I agree. I think I could speak to the fact that I have it often too.
You're a very successful man.
But I still struggle with it all the time. I'm successful to some degree, I guess, in what I do. There's nothing in me that tells me I should be something. It goes back actually to what we started the episode talking about, oddly enough, is just like, you know, being the youngest sibling with in a bigger family with four people, there's always this, you know, I'm going to be the last one on the beam, but I'm always the first one off. And so there's something that tells me that I'm not good enough all the time.
Yeah.
And this is just a song about how I think a lot of people think that way.
Yeah. I think it's a great theme for a song too.
Yeah. And I think you're right. If you do think that, I don't always buy into it. The person I'm afraid of the most is the guy that tells me how badass he is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know?
I'm like, I don't know about you, man.
So I think it's really interesting that we've all just come to the conclusion that this is a very well-written song and it's effective, yet Brad, you still came to the conclusion that it was garbage, which speaks to the whole thing we were just talking about. So why don't you walk us through that a little bit? Like, what about this song made you just kind of throw your hands up?
I think it was because I knew it was basic, right? Like, I knew it was very plain Jane. And when I tried to do other things with it, it pulled from the power a little bit. So I would try to do things that amplified maybe the chorus or the verse or whatever. And as I tried to develop it, it seemed to pull away from the punch that it gave you when you were listening to it. Mm-hmm. Like I've tried a couple things early on, like a long time ago when I was mm-hmm. playing with the chorus to try to thicken it up. But I honestly, when I'm doing them, I don't spend a lot of time wrestling with it. I know you guys know that, but what I'm trying to say is if it doesn't come
yeah.
quickly,
yeah.
I don't think it belongs. Yeah. And that's something we've talked about on the show before mm-hmm. is giving it more thought, which I'm thinking Wade gave it a lot more thought and said, here's a production-based version of this song and what I think it needs. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's what we're going to hear. But where I was is I was just stuck
It is the most maddening thing, especially when I've been like sitting at the board when you're recording vocals of, I love your voice so much in so many of your songs, and I just want you to throw away all the bullshit
mm-hmm.
and just give me what I want, which is you to be on the verge of yelling it, of mm-hmm. like shoving it into my ears, and you always just hesitate.
Yeah.
And this was recorded before we started this podcast.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. This song's been sitting around. Yeah. I don't remember what year it was, but it was 2018.
Dated on the session that you gave me was 2017-19.
Yeah, so early
Home Squares, early 2017-19.
Yep. And so I think to answer mm-hmm. your question, Wade, finally, is I was going to discard it because I didn't think it was ready for people to listen to hear because mm-hmm. it wasn't done, but it wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just kept it.
Gotcha.
You know, but I wasn't going to yeah. let somebody hear it because I'm like, oh, that's not, it's not done, but it was never going to be done.
So we're going to listen to a version that I've gotten my grubby hands on, and sometimes I struggle with, should I tell you what I've done to it ahead of time or wait till afterwards, but I think this is a good case where I can tell you the things I added ahead of time. I ended up putting 14 new guitar tracks on this.
That's unbelievable.
12 background vocal tracks, a flute, and I texted you both when I was working on this. This was a while ago. I was like, well, I'm working on this song by Brad, so.
Mop the hoop all this shit.
flute.
Gotta hoop it.
Another pad, another organ, and some choir tracks. So I put a lot of stuff in here.
This sounds like you actually produced this how I wanted to hear it.
I'm really curious to hear your reaction to this after your comments there. And also, Chad was over a couple nights ago and we recorded drums to this.
Oh, mm-hmm. boy.
So like we did in the first episode, you're going to hear the beginning of the song that I was working on with the MIDI drums that I had programmed, because I wasn't sure Chad was going to put drums on it. And then halfway through, it's going to transition to the real drums.
I don't like that.
What?
Chad's not a fan of that process.
Well, that's to give the listener
that's
because Chad
I
has imposter syndrome.
I understand.
Still
it.
Trying to live up to Chad, too.
You don't have to like it, Chad. You have to respect it.
I understand.
We can have a dialogue, Chad. But what you'll learn is whatever Wade thinks is going to be what ends up on tape.
That's right.
Well, the finished version will have Chad's drums throughout the whole thing. But just to give the listener a better idea of how these songs progress and grow as we
I'm excited.
Me
so,
too.
Yeah, let's do this. I'm excited for Brad to hear it because
I'm excited.
We all know.
Wait, has Brad not heard it?
He
no, I haven't heard it.
We all know how Brad takes things first.
So, all right, so just preemptively, don't start with me.
No,
okay,
you know,
when the song ends.
I'm going to explain why that is. Usually, if this was a song that Brad has seen through all the way and we're taking it to a final mix, we want him to hear it because we want him to gather his thoughts. But he basically discarded this song and gave it to me and said to right. do whatever you want. So we're getting his
Wade,
wrong
you are
reaction.
Playing with a rattlesnake.
I think it's good. I think it's good. If I wanted it to be a certain way or could do it a certain way, I would have done it. Not to say I won't have some notes.
In
yeah.
little teaser for the future, Brad gave me two songs.
I did.
Oh, man.
So there's going to be another episode coming up where it's the same thing.
Wade's going to get some pixelated sunglasses drop over his face and says, deal
yeah.
with it.
Yeah. So we'll get to see how he reacts to this. That'll determine if he hears the next one for the next episode.
Shannon's going to come down to a bloodbath.
All right, here we go.
I just hope you didn't ruin it. That's all.
Thank you.
pick a mare. If a mare is what it needs, he's just waiting for someone to see him for what he can be. He's been reading the book. He bought all new clothes. But what will happen when everyone finds out what he doesn't know? I don't wanna play. If I'm going to lose, I don't wanna be fake anymore. Pretend I know what to do. How did this come to be?
Poker face through the whole thing.
I wasn't even watching you. I was looking at Patrick because he was writing notes and stuff. I know that you're just taking it.
I gotta sit there. Yep.
All right, let's start with Chad.
Going into the song, definitely wanted to separate out the different dynamics between the first and the second verse. Obviously, those were the digital drums, so you couldn't hear that too much. But same thing. I mostly mocked the drums that Wade did originally with this song because, honestly, he has gotten much better with that program, and those sounds are getting better. So I really mocked a lot of the drums that Wade did. Again, just tried to show dynamics between the first and second verses and tried to make that big ending, as Patrick said earlier, about how mm-hmm. those really needed to be separated, elevate that second one. So I tried to do that a lot. I mean, I agree with you guys that structurally the song is pretty sound. You know, lyrics are good. We just got to tighten and get dynamics.
That was something you and I actually talked about when we were recording the drums. It was before Brad got here. I had actually even mentioned to you, I was like, what do you think about this? How does this come to be happening four times? Do you think arrangement-wise it would work if I cut half of those out? And you had said, no, I think I can differentiate them and elevate that second half of them, which I think did work. Once you started playing differently to that and adding the more fills, it really did help the arrangement there a lot.
Not so monotonous.
Did you actually add, did you copy and paste another round of how did this come to be?
Nope.
No, it was two.
Same thing.
I wasn't counting clearly. Mm-hmm. That sounded like they carried out a little bit longer. I really like what you did to this, Wade. I have a couple very nitpicky things, but let's focus on the things that you did, which were exactly in my head. Let's start with the outro again, because we're doing things backwards today. The outro is lifted, and now it makes sense in the song, whereas it just felt tacked on before. Mm-hmm. Now it fits. It fits really well. I love the keys, the drums building. Everything just works really, really well.
And this is still demo form, so as I mix, I'm going to work on elevating those parts even more.
There was one part, I think it's when the first How'd This Come to Be, you added a couple guitar tracks there, and it gets a little muddy. I think you can probably clear that up with a mix, but it's just that first line, and then it settles back down. I love the keyboard. I think the flute might be too...
It comes in hot at the
beginning. It comes in way hot.
That's just a mixing thing, I think.
Yeah, so that was my first comment there. But that whole intro, and this is not an insult, it felt like a Jan Hammer, like maybe Miami Vice-like intro, like something dark is happening.
Yeah, almost like on the beat.
Yeah, it's super cool. I love it. It's not necessarily thematic.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, Brad has a tendency to make very long intros, and there's been cases where I'll get a hold of him and I'll cut those down. But this one, I was like, I like what he's doing.
I do too.
And this is something Chad and I talked about a lot when we were recording drums, or something that I kept mentioning. When I went to program your drums, the way you play this is a beat later than you would think it would normally be played.
Yeah.
And as I was trying to like line up MIDI drums, I'm like, what is going on? Am I doing something wrong? And then I had to figure out, it's like, no, you're starting on the second beat.
And
it stays that way.
I kind of did that on purpose because I liked
it's a James Brown
I
move.
Liked how it felt.
Yeah, it does give it this like nice syncopation.
Yeah.
In the demo version that I did, the only differential,
you just had a straight beat going through.
Yeah,
much the
it's
whole
drums
thing.
The rest of it's just strummy whole note or half note guitar parts. There was really not a lot of movement. The thing to pay attention to was the drums. And
as we've mentioned before, I didn't do really any arranging. I liked the arrangement.
Yeah, the arrangement's great.
Like, it's the same.
My only real notes for it are mix notes. I think overall the parts and pieces that you have involved in it are really good. I think everything's good. I agree with the flute. There's a clean guitar that's in the first verse that probably needs to get lowered way in the back.
The keyboard after the first, how'd this come
to
be?
I think the overall concept of it is somewhere in between version I have and the version you have.
So what happened, I had a rough mix of this, but then Chad came over to record drums and I'm giving him what he needs.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to do the MIDI drums in his drums for our listening, and that kind of throws everything out. So I just had to like quickly last
balance
night
it.
Try to find a balance that worked for both, and things kind of got
so,
messed
and
up.
It's like, I don't think this is your final version, right?
No,
so,
not.
So
not
I
all.
Think what I hear and what I would want to see is probably what Chad alluded to a little bit. It's just from the intro to the first, how did it come to be? It's like your first initial introduction to the song.
Right.
And I think that's really
a little more
less bells and whistles
down,
toned down. And then everything else is basically a reiteration. And I think that's when you start bringing in all these other elements. And then it kind of builds up to that second, how did this come to be?
This would be a fun thing to have you sit in on the mix.
Yeah, on the dynamic.
No, that we'll get that to happen, but
no, but it'd be, at the very least,
we'll
halfway through, send
forth,
it back and
least,
forth,
yeah.
And we'll listen to versions of it. But that's kind of in my mind is like the new trajectory of where it should go is sort of a build into. And I like the intro on this. The way I always do them is I'll just bring the drums in and I'll start those from zero. And then I'll wait like two measures or four measures. That's where I start the song just so I have some space.
Right.
And I was just sitting there like waiting to get into it and just playing bullshit to the drums before I actually got into the real thing. I was like, oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I left it in.
That's really cool. Delayed kind of.
Yeah, just kind of like a little
atmospheric
piece. I think the major like addition I did to that was the pad. Just
to help. Yeah,
the pad
is great.
Kind of get everything bigger.
So I overall, I like where it's going. I think really cool. Just needs some cleanup.
Yeah. It's shaded in much, much better. I think the intro should be Brad driving to a job site for 10 hours, and then we get into the song.
Right, then we get into the song. Yeah, I like that. That'll work.
So you think ready to mix, then?
I think it's ready to mix, and I think there's just a lot of delicacies in there that could make or break the song, where I think really just kind of, like I said, toned down the first part, because like Patrick said, there were parts of it that got a little muddy, or there's like two clashing notes that we just I think, clean up that stuff a little bit.
I blame the drumming.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. We're two episodes in. Is this where we start shitting on Chad? Yeah,
no, no. I mean, again, the first half of the drums were
perfect.
Spot
on.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
I didn't want to use the phrase better than real.
Yeah, right. But no, I think hearing it as a whole, collectively, once those are mixed in and...
Oh, Collective Whole?
Collective Whole.
Oh, yeah. Your new... Great band.
Oh, yeah. It's great band. It's the guys from Collective Soul playing Whole songs. Oh,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
They're on tour with Savage Soundgarden.
All right, well,
anyway, good job. Cool. I think is the where that boils down.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are going to, well, I'm going to mix this, bounce it back and forth with Brad. And the next time we jump into this episode, we'll listen to the finished mix.
I like it.
Cool. To the future. Set course.
To the future!
All right. Hey, welcome back. We're here. We're in the studio.
Season three, episode two.
Season three, episode. Yeah.
We've finally committed. We are committed.
This is episode two. Save that crappy song for episode three. So we're here to talk about imposter syndrome. I have mixed it. Chad's in the studio with us.
Hello.
Still on orientation.
Yeah.
Probation. Filling out his paperwork, tax forms.
So what have we done since we listened to
this last?
Shadow
Brad for the day.
Oh, I got it.
So yeah, I mixed this. There's not a whole lot to say because when we left this, it was in good shape and it was like, let's give this a mix and get it finished.
Yeah, every and note I have is all mix.
We were just recording on a forthcoming song that was in much worse shape, but this one was good to go, I think. So I spent a bunch of time just doing all the mixing stuff that we can get into after we listen to it. Anything anybody else wants to say? Brad's listened to it. I did send it to Brad.
Yeah. This one I did listen to, and I had zero comments other than nice work. So I think it's ready for the people.
All right. Well, let's not even listen to this then.
Yeah. No, I want you to listen, because I actually think this turned out pretty good.
And we're out.
right before we started recording this revisit, we were talking a little bit about recording drums in the studio here, and this is a small room, and the difficulties that that presents. So I'd like to get Chad's opinion on how they turned out, because when we listened to it first, we had listened to the first half with the program drums, and then I just like arbitrarily picked a take for the second half of the first listen of Chad's drums. But the first thing I did when I started mixing this song was go through all the takes that we recorded that day, pick the best parts, and put together a full drum comp, and then started mixing them. So
yeah, no, absolutely. I like what you picked out. I like the fills that you did use. Most of them, I think, were from one of the better takes, of course. But and you've gotten very good at seamlessly putting those together where you have to go in. I might flub a really good take. And if Wade can go in from another take and actually section out and play and match up, you know, that really helps the process move along quite a bit. And I thought overall, no, it sounded good. The other thing we talked about just a hint before was cymbals. Now, Patrick, did the ride not bother you?
Not as much on this one.
Okay. The other song were your cymbals. These were my pasties.
Yep, yeah. So we switched out the cymbals because that was a complaint that we had talked about from before. Was like the cymbals that I had down here were cheap ones, and they just sounded like you're jangling keys around. So Chad brought his nicer cymbals over, and I think they do sound a lot better. Yeah,
and they do. But we also talked about the way they were recorded in the room and steps we're going to have to take to even get them better, because they are still a little ringy, a little abrasive sometimes almost. So
yeah, and I did end up replacing the kick and snare on this song with samples. I mean, they're still coming through the overhead mics.
Yeah.
And that is the most predominant thing you're hearing. But just to reinforce, the first song of the season, which I know we haven't listened to the mix yet, but listeners have already heard it, I didn't replace any drums. And we'll talk about that. And I'm sure we talked about that. But
everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. It depends on the song.
The
way the groove's moving, if you need a little dynamic difference in your bass drum hits, you know, from the beginning to the second half of a measure, you know, that's hard to do with a sample. If it's a driving song, that sounds really good. Other songs, you need a little more finesse.
And the arrangement of this song has a lot of, there's synths and a lot of stuff going on to poke through a lot of that.
It was good. I kind of replaced some of those.
Brad,
that performance standpoint, though, from the drums, you did a great job playing.
No, thank you.
Like what happened on this song, I can't remember. Did I even have drums for it?
No.
I didn't outline anything.
You just had one beat that repeated through the whole
thing
originally.
There was a beat there, though?
It was like you picked one pattern.
It was a metronome, basically.
It was a glorified click track.
You redid it before you even gave it
to me. Yeah, I did.
That's right. I think it took a song that was really just kind of singer-songwriter-ish kind of version that I had, and it like the end of this song gets really big, and one of the things I never really liked about this song was the eight lines of the same line.
Chad and I discussed that. I know we already talked about that the first time.
Yeah, but Chad did a great job of like...
That's a credit to him.
Really, that's the part that I picked out the most. I was like, man, the second part of this really makes you feel the protagonist's confusion and irritation and just like, what the fuck am I doing?
Like
and
I mentioned before.
Like, I like that a lot.
I thought about cutting that.
No, it helps tell the story a lot better.
Yep.
My comment during the first listen of this song was that I wasn't convinced by the protagonist.
Yeah.
And it needed more power there. And what I thought I wanted is I wanted you to get a little more yelling, a little more aggressive with your vocals, but Chad coming in helps fill that out. I still think your vocals could use a little bit of boost there, but it's the foregone conclusion. I don't think it's worth re-recording the song or anything, but the drums helps.
It would be, but you know he won't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Probation over.
Well, orientation. You're off probation.
Tune in for season 5.
Yeah,
when we get this one done.
I do want to take a step back, though, just for my own curiosity, and you can leave this on the cutting room floor if you want. But, Chad, talk us through.
Are we going to talk about chicken again?
Yeah. Talk us through. That's at the end of the episode.
Okay.
Talk us through your process where you write a song.
This is a question for Chad, so feel free to cut it completely out of the episode.
How you should take it is this might not be as interesting of a question to the listeners as it is for me.
Are we just technical?
I don't think this is technical. Okay. I think this is more about process. So
that's good.
A lot of songs.
I wish that you would get on with the question, though.
Wonder why I can't. Wonder what's interfering with my ability to ask a fucking question on this show.
Brad.
Yeah.
It was Brad.
So a lot of the songs on this show come out of jams, right? And that's a whole different thing because you're going to lay down a groove. Usually the rhythm section is going to drive that. But what do you do differently, or how do you have to think differently when you get a completed song, except the drums aren't there? Like, what do you do to, A, learn the song, but then you also have to craft part of the song when a lot of it's already set in stone? I'll take my answer off the air.
I think it's a really good question, actually.
No, that's a really good question.
Yeah, if only I could have asked it 15 minutes ago. Now let's not let Chad answer.
No, what I'll do is I'll edit it out so it sounds like you did, and then I'll be like, what's he talking about?
No, the familiarity with the song is really the beginning of it. It is difficult sometimes when you have to separate yourself from the bias of the person that wrote the song, because what I'm going for is what I feel is the actual feel of the song, the actual groove of the song, you know, where it's coming from, what it's going to do, how they want to take it, not from a vocal point of view, that kind of comes in later. But getting the initial groove of the song and the feeling for the song is important. Taking, you know, the guitar and the bass track, you know, that's always very important. And the overall, because a lot of times the rhythm might not line up the way I feel it goes. But that's always been a good working part of what Wade, I, Brad, and other people that we've worked with do, is adding a different element to it. So, you know, I have a style. When I hear a song, I say, how is this digital beat going over and over again, kind of tend to my style, but where do I feel the song's going? Mm-hmm. That's really the gist of it. And then just learning it, you know, I can listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, but I think it's most productive when I sit down and we actually record it, because then I'm trying, and then I'm really seeing where the song feels, and you know, you have the drums right underneath you, and it helps the creative process of going over that. And I, moving forward, it's going to be 10 times easier. We're not going to have to do it.
Well, I think you're...
I'm sorry, Chad. I wasn't listening. Could you repeat
that? Yeah.
But
you're familiarity with this.
You're a really good instinctive player. You could sit here and try to map and plan out your drum beat till the cows come home, but once Chad sits down and like he starts playing along, and then usually by the third or fourth listen, I would say, like, usually he's starting to hit things that he wants to accent and he's starting to pick up on. And then usually we take those cues backwards and we'll go, oh, that was a really cool. And a lot of times you do it with vocals even.
Cue off your
vocals. Yeah, you'll cue off of vocals and stuff. Like, did you write the bass line, Wade, after he did?
Before.
So like you could tell that there's something was cueing off of something there.
I was driving bass line. I heard. Yeah. There was a pronounced bass line.
Yeah. Because like that, I didn't have a bass line for it. And I really liked the bass line that you picked for it. And then it's really cool to hear that Chad picked up your beat off of that, which was like, okay, that was a really cool three-person collaboration all of a sudden that happened really quickly.
And we throw a lot at Chad. It's like, this is a full song, and one thing I want to try to do moving forward now that he's going to be on the song is to get him the songs earlier so we can play off of what he's doing.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, this is a done song here.
Just put some drums to it. What's the fuck big idea? Just
fucking fix it.
fucking fix it.
When we play, we've been playing for years, and when we play the band songs that we all write together, it's like a completely different process.
Completely different.
And for the most part, Chad's the backbone of that. You know, one of us will bring a riff or something, and we kind of do it together. But yeah, this is a totally different thing where we do put a lot on him to be like, all right, make this good.
Yeah. you can get creative, but don't get too creative.
Yeah.
Because we pretty much got her summed up.
But when Chad and I, when we're in the studio recording, it's a lot of, like he said, it'll run through it a bunch. And sometimes I'll be like, ooh, I like that part. Like, let's see what we can do on that. Or maybe try this. And you just kind of work it out. But like you said, he's really good at
instinct. You know,
after a few times,
getting
the feel of it.
And even you guys at this point, I mean, if you went back and decided to re-record Imposter Syndrome, it would turn out probably
completely
at least
different.
25% different.
I agree.
You know,
yeah, I agree.
Even though the skeleton's there.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, let's split it up here. Let's add this.
We're talking a lot about spooky skeletons today.
Ideally.
Skeleton?
Ideally for all these songs, if we had the time to do it all, we would get these songs to a point where it's a demo, and then we would sit down in
and
a room
them.
For a month and practice them. As a band, but everybody's too busy to do that.
A lot of going on. Yeah.
We're doing what we can with what we have, but that would be what a professional touring or recording band would do. They'd get all these demos and practice them as a live band, and then they do change and evolve because the energy is just completely different when you're all playing together.
I regret asking that question. That was way too long.
I think it was a good
question. No, it was a very good question.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad, maybe let me talk every now and then.
I think overall, I did want to comment on the bass line, so that all came together organically. I like this song a lot, actually, now.
And you didn't. So
I didn't
cool.
like it. Yeah, I like the way it builds. Mm-hmm. I like the way it ends.
I think the harmonics are a lot tighter now, or the harmonies. Didn't mean to say harmonics. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I think there's a lot more separation in the mix. That was the other problem with this song. In the first mix, it just kind of ran together. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot more separated now.
Yeah, the only arrangement thing I did was the intro. I actually kept the electronic drums
in
there.
I liked it.
Added some effects to it and then brought yours in with the bass.
Yeah.
Other than that, the arrangement's the same.
I don't think that intro would work with acoustic drums. I think it's got that, like I said before, it's that Jan Hammer kind of Miami Vice vibe.
Oh, it's a cop show.
Yeah, it's a cop show for sure.
And we did record real drums, but you're exactly right. It didn't fit as well, the arrangement.
Then you really actually can feel the start of the song a lot better when his drums come in.
Yeah.
There's a switch that happens that is really kind of cool from intro to
just like
actual
over
song.
The top.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn your hat around.
Arm wrestling?
Yeah.
For the love of your son.
You turn your hat around. It's like a switch.
For the love of your son and to win a new semi.
So done. Like I said, really fun to get a song that was half finished and kind of put my spin on it. And it gave us an easy song.
Well, I labored over it for several years.
Of course.
So that's how that went.
I look forward to you laboring over your hard drive and finding more of these.
I'm going to labor over throwing that fucking thing out the window. Yeah. I'm not a quitter, but I will quit if I have to wait for something to load up for too long.
With that said, we're going to quit this episode. BSers. Hey there. I'm busting into this episode, much like I did with episode 1, because after we'd finished this, I had gotten more feedback on this song via my Pure Mix website subscription, not a sponsor, and ended up working on this more. So I wanted to jump in here and talk about it. We'll go through some of the things I did. And like I did with episode 1, I will play the revised song at the very end of the episode after we jump back into our little outro here. And this is something I won't be doing in every episode. It just so happened that the first 3 episodes, I had kind of mixed those songs together, and that was before I had the opportunity to get this mix feedback. So in the future, ideally, I will have already gone through this process as we're talking about the finished song in the episode. But for now, we're going to get a little technical and talk about the things that I did to this. So as with episode 1 song, Time to Grow Up, I did apply some global EQ to the mix bus on this song. I got a new plugin from Plugin Alliance called the Amec EQ 200, which I think works really great on the master bus. I added a little low end and a little high end, gave it that smiley face curve that I had talked about in episode 1, and also did a little bit of a cut in the lower mids around 300 to 500 hertz. That is something that I went through and did a lot on individual tracks too, cutting out those lower mids. This song really had a buildup in that area. Some of the guitars needed to be cleaned out there, and the main vocals really did too. It's funny getting some of this feedback and then going back and listening how obvious it sounds once it's pointed out to you, but when I was initially doing this, I didn't hear those things. So really scooped out a lot of tracks in that regard. Again, like the 300 to 500 hertz range where you just get that boxy, muddy kind of feel. There was a big buildup overall. The drums also cut out a little of that, but then brought them up overall and did a parallel compression technique on the kick and the snare. So I took the kick and snare tracks. I sent them via bus to their own auxiliary track as a pre-fader send, which means that the signal is going to this new track, but it's still coming through their individual tracks like it was. That's not affected by what I'm doing now. So I'm sending the signal as like a separate signal over to this other track. And then I really compressed the kick and snare a lot and then blended that in to the overall drum track. That's called parallel compression. And that just helps to let the kick and snare cut through a little more. It gives them a little more weight in the mix and just helped them poke out a little, which was some of the feedback that I got, that maybe those two elements could drive a little harder in the mix overall. So I did that, brought the drums up a little bit. Another thing that I did was almost get rid of the compression on the background vocals and brought those up in volume overall to help the choruses seem bigger when those come in, because they were kind of getting squashed by the compressor I had on there, which almost made the mix feel like it tightened up there instead of getting bigger, which is what we want at the choruses. So toned back the compression there and added some top-end EQ to give them an airy quality to kind of sit on top of the mix. And that's about it. I spent a few hours doing these little tweaks and listening back and forth, and I think it really did help. So again, I'm going to send us back into the outro of our episode, and then at the very end, I'll play the revised version with these tweaks and then the theme song, just like episode one. Thank you so much for joining us for another week and another edition of Belonging Songs. You can always go to our website to find out what's coming up next. That is belongingsongs.com. There's a merch there. You can send us messages, bs@belongingsongs.com, or fill out the forms page on the website. Patrick curates our very special Spotify playlist.
Labor of love, really.
Please check it out. You can listen to all our songs from all the seasons there. Bonus songs by the Dirty Kids, White Spiders, it's all there. We have a Patreon. You can go and look at that. There might be some stuff up there. Thinking about doing some stuff. So
this season's going to be filled with stuff.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You can check those out for stuff. And we really do appreciate you liking, subscribing. What we would like most, though, is for you to tell your friends about the show. Help us grow. That would really mean a lot to us while we continue to write you songs. So
next time you have a good waiter at Olive Garden, tell them about the show.
Yeah.
And then write, I don't tip, but I'll give you a hot tip on a podcast.
Yeah. Wear your BS shirts to the gym, I think, is a big thing to do right now.
Make sure you rip the sleeves off, though, so you know you're serious.
Do they come with sleeves? Are we doing that even?
Yeah, those are optional. Those are an upgrade, $5 upgrade.
We could de-sleeve if somebody wants one.
Dude, I mean, what are we
doing? How much denim do we have on that store?
Probably not enough.
Yeah, they're never enough.
Never.
All right, I think we're good. So we are going to get out of here. We'll be back in a few weeks.
With more denim.
Everyone finds out what he doesn't know.
you're lucky I don't have any more friends. And this is all I can get, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's good. Boom, done. Next.